Blog Talk Radio.
Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts and expectation, Lord God. Let your word touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Lord. For you know and listening. Lord God, let your word touch them. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I lift up, I look up, I give you honor, glory, and praise. And as always, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. And Father God, again, I say thank you just for your grace and mercy, waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind with a pep in my step and joy in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. For all listening live and listening later, Lord God, may their thanksgivings and may their time and travel be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, family. What a day, what a day. I am so grateful to be with you, to lift up the name of Jesus with you, and to just give God thanks for being such a wonderful and awesome God. So let's get in our word this morning on this 22nd day of November. Get your Bible. This is Bible study. And we are coming out of Ezekiel chapter 35 through chapter 36, verse 38. The 131st Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 29, verses 2 through 3, and James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, where our title for this morning will be coming out of, you know, James always talked about that doggone tongue, you know, that little membrane behind our teeth. And what God gave him to, what God gave James and what James gave me is, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Whew, this little thing behind our teeth can get us in all kind of trouble. It can get us into the he said, she said club. It can get us into the, well, I know what I heard. And the, well, I just tell it like it is. You know, we are all in those things. Telling it like it is. He said, she said, they said, woo-woo, and them said. And the next thing you know, you got confusion in your life. Little membrane behind your teeth. And let's call it straight. You know, we got those folks that love to just lie and judge. And all of that happens with this little membrane, with this little thing that we call a tongue. It will cause all kinds of trouble. You know, you're like, what in the world? I didn't say that. But the tongue said you did. And the I Heard Club said you did. And the next thing you know, you got all kind of devilment going on in your life. Because somebody said, you said this, or you said that. Then they've done it. Somebody said, I said this or that. And the next thing I know, my friend is not speaking to me, and I don't know why. Because they heard I said. We've got to quit letting this little thing get in the way. And let's not forget, it's a judging little thing. Ooh, it's a real big judging little thing. It will judge everything, everybody, talk about everyone and everything. This little tongue. But one thing this little tongue can do, edify, uplift, give praise, say hallelujah, give honor to God. It can be used for good. You know, I would say we want it to be used for good. So let this little thing behind your teeth be used for good. Be used to glorify God in all things. Give honor and glory to God. And watch him work in your life. Get ready to get started. But I just had to go there because this little tongue has got even me in some trouble. I didn't say it, but I wrote it and got a notice from Facebook that I had violated their rules because I said, amen. I was listening to a friend of mine, and what he was saying was on point, and I said, amen. And the next thing I know, I get a notice from Facebook saying that I had violated their rules by saying, amen. And I also said, thank you, Lord. And it was a violation. So I'm like, excuse me. And so they have a little button that you can push to say that you disagree. And I surely did. I pushed that little button to say that I did agree with their saying I violated their rules. So I'm going to tell you, when you use the name of the Lord on Facebook, you might get a little box that tells you that you violated the rules. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And then they came back to tell me that they didn't have enough staff. And I said, well, now, you don't have enough staff, but yet you had the gall to tell me that I had violated the rules by saying amen, by saying praise the Lord. So understand, people, the devil is busy, and he is mad because we are praising God that he's even gone to Facebook to say you violated the rules when you said, oh, I know the first one was, good morning, all. I said, good morning, all. And then I said, thank you, Lord. And both was a violation of the rules. So I can't say good morning, all, on Facebook. And I can't praise the Lord on Facebook. So when you get those little notes from Facebook, because it said that you violated when you praised and said good morning, I don't have to be on Facebook. But I just thought that was ironic and obviously stupid. Because I'm going to tell you, good morning, family. And I'm going to praise the Lord if I got to praise him by myself. So ignore, but I just had to tell y'all, Facebook has been busy. And, you know, I thought, wow, it just took me by surprise. But let's get into the word. Everybody, did I give you time to get your Bibles? Let's go to the Old Testament. Because I'm going to tell you something. Does not play. He would have told Facebook a thing or two about telling him he couldn't say good morning, I praise the Lord. But, you know, I don't have time to tell Facebook a thing or two because I don't have to be on it. So I'm just telling you, let God work because God is getting ready to do some things. And watch as well as pray because all these folks that don't want you to say the name of the Lord will find themselves without because God don't play that. And this is the word of God. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Mount Zion and prophesy against it and say to it, thus says the Lord God, before, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay you waste. You shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate and cut off from it the one who leaves and the one who returns. And I will fill its mountains with the slain on your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines. Those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your city shall be uninhabited. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have said these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them. Although the Lord was there, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate. They are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth, there's a tongue again. You have blasted against me. You have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, the whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate, as you rejoice because the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate. So I will do to you as you shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, as well as all of Edom, all of it. Know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God. That mouth, laughing at the people of God, talking about the people of God, mistreating the people of God, better watch out. Keep your mouth off your pastor. Keep your mouth off of the leaders of your churches. Keep your mouth off of God's anointing. Because I'm going to tell you something. God don't play that. God will destroy some stuff. He will make you a byword. Don't play. Don't play. And don't come into the house of God with foolishness. Because God ain't playing it. You know, I love my pastor. She reconsecrated us, anointed us as leaders on Sunday. And it did something to my heart. You know, this woman of God washed my feet, y'all. That just changed the soul much in my spirit. It's like, wow, God, she washed my feet. It touched my heart more than she will ever know. That touched my heart to the core. That this woman of God humbled herself and washed the feet of her leader. I will. Let's just say I love my church and I respect my pastor. That's a true woman of God. Keep your mouth off your pastors. Keep your mouth off of women and men of God, because you will not do things will happen to you. Come on now. We got to watch what we say and not allow this little tongue to get us in trouble. What did the Lord tell these people? Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. You better understand. Don't play with God. And don't play and mess up and say some things about God's anointing. I've seen some things happen to people with God's anointing. And I know I'm anointed. I know my children are anointed. And I've seen some things, and it scared me. And I'm like, okay, God, keep your mouth to your, keep that tongue behind your teeth, and let it praise God, and not vilify your sisters and your brothers. And as we continue with Ezekiel, again, he does not play. And you, son of man, prophesy the mountain of Israel to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations. And you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slanders by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valley, the desolate waste, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginning. then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you. My people Israel, they shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave their nation anymore, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations anymore, nor bear the reproach of the people anymore. Nor shall you cause your nations to stumble anymore, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their ways was like the uncleanliness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for the idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds when they came to the nations. Wherever they went, they profaned my holy name when they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and in the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Whew. And I have a life question. You want to get some pen and paper out This is Ezekiel 36, 16 through 38 from Dr. Stanley. And it's just a life question for those that are just joining, moving forward. This is Bible study. And the assignment I was given was to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we are on November 22nd. We have a little over a month left to finish the Bible. And all I can say is, wow, a lot. And I'm doing it again because God told me to next year. And right now, I don't know which Bible we'll be using, but I do know it will be a one-year Bible. And this year, God gave me Dr. Charles Stanley's Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And his commentary has been so on point that there have been days that y'all know that are with me on a regular basis. It just breaks me down because it is so, it hits my heart. This man of God, keep him in your prayers. Because I do, I just think the world of Dr. Stanley, because he's not one faking it to make it. He loves God, and you can see it in his writings. You can see it when he speaks. And that's what I love about this Bible. You feel Dr. Stanley's love for God as he gives us commentary and asks questions. And so answers to life questions this morning. How can I help fellowship with God? We all have that question. You may have a son or a daughter or friends or other family members that you want to be saved. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The term restore is an interesting one. In ancient Greek, it means to set a broken bone back in place. In restoring someone, we do not place bandages on small cuts, but instead we set broken spiritual bones. Therefore, the work is often long and painful. And it says the steps to restoration are as follows. I said, get those pens out and paper out. The first is lead the person to recognizing his failure. Number two, lead the person to acknowledge responsibility for his sin. Person to receive the message God wants to teach him. And that's the, or her. Number five, lead the sinful believer to respond to God's chastisement with gratitude. And so let's go back and unpack these. And it says, lead the person to recognize his failure. Help him see the nature of the problem and to call it by its right name. See, as long as a person can rationalize his behavior, he will never accept responsibility for it. Lead the person to acknowledge responsibility for his sins. Blaming others will do no good. Others may have been involved, but the person choose to sin. And claiming proper responsibility is essential to restoration. Tell God, I'm sorry. Lord, I messed up. My mouth got the best of me. Oh, Lord, I have messed up and I got to do some cleaning. There's some cleaning that needs to be done in my house because there's some spirits that have come in that they can't stay here. They got to go. And, you know, we got to go back and just lead the fallen saint to repent. Pray that the Holy Spirit will convict the person to feel remorse, regret, and grief. Repentance means a change of mind leading to a change of conduct. A change of mind leading to a change of conduct. Repentance. I'm repeating that again. Repentance means a change of mind leading to a change of conduct. Paul taught that our thinking must change first, then our actions will follow. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. And then as we keep forward, go forward, it says, lead the person to receive the message of God, the message God wants to teach him. Sometimes a person is stubborn and resistant and reluctant to learn. what did he say? Stiff-necked people. Isn't that what he called us? Stiff-necked folks. And I'm going to read this again. Lead the person to receive the message of God, the message God wants to teach him. Sometimes a person is stubborn and resistant and reluctant to learn. But failure is unprofitable only when we refuse to learn from the experience. If we learn and grow, we have not utterly failed. We have taken the opportunity to learn more about ourselves and about our God. Number five, lead the sinful believer to respond to God's chastisement with gratitude. The one leading might point out two helpful verses. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word, and it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Psalms 119, 67 and 71. Gently remind the person how wonderful it is that God loves us enough to chasten us and to mend us. God will never crush the one he loves so dearly. I have had my honey towed up by God, and so I know it is no joke. You don't want to be chasing by God. You don't want God to get on you because you did this or you did that or you said this or you said that or you lost your way. Because he will bring you home. He will give you light. He will change your life. And it says the goal of all spiritual restoration is to help our sinning brothers and sisters come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. It says, what a joy is ours when we see God put a new heart and a new spirit in them, causing them to walk joyfully and willingly in his ways and to keep his commandments for their own good. Ezekiel 36:26-27. And some life lessons from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:21. I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the nations. Our behavior not only reflects how much or little we love God, but it also either attracts or repels those who do not yet know God. Our connection to God should draw others to God. Come on now. 1 John 5:3. John 14, we've already read. First John, we haven't got to yet. But I tell you, what does it say? Our behavior, and I'm talking us now, Christians, believers, the way, however you want to call yourself, not religious, just loving the Lord. Our behavior not only reflects how much or little we love God, but it also either attracts or repels those who do not yet know God. Our connection to God should draw others to God with loving kindness. Do I draw them? That's what God wants us to have, loving kindness, to feed the hungry, to clothe those that need. We got to help out, get out of our four walls, and help our community. But we got to show godly love and not judgment, because it is not our place to put ourselves in the judgment seat. There is only one God, and believe me, he can judge all by himself. And as we go back to Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. God does not want remodeled hearts, but brand new ones. He doesn't want a reform in character, but a new spirit that loves to do his will. He wants transformation, not mere accommodation. The Bible is full of predictions that God will bring his ancient people back to their promised land and there give them a heart to joyfully follow him. Paul saw this as a tremendous news for Gentile Christians in Romans 11:12. Understand, God's children may not know who they are. They may not know who they are because they have been away so long. But he said, I will scatter you. I will enslave you. And then I will change you. There is going to be an awakening of the children of God. They're going to figure out who they are because God's going to show them. We are all waiting in anticipation of going on. Whew, because my life is not my own. To him I belong. We got to give ourselves away to God so that when you go on, you're prepared with a new heart and a new spirit. Hallelujah. Psalms 131, our 131st Psalm, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great manners, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have come and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me, O Israel. Hope in the Lord from the time, from this time forth and forever. And Dr. Stanley said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Verse 1 of the 131st Psalm. It takes humility to admit that some things are bigger than us, are just way beyond us. If the great David could call himself a flea and a dead dog, 1 Samuel 24:14, maybe we have more to learn about humility. Every morning, I ask God to increase as I decrease with a humble heart. We got to have a humble heart. We can't go almighty, I'm this, I'm that, because we are nothing without God. And we need to start speaking the name of Jesus wherever we go. Invite somebody to church. If you have some flyers, give them out. Because eventually, what you do, all the reaping you're doing, all the sowing you're doing as you're inviting people to come into the house of God, eventually, you're going to reap that harvest. All them folks that you think didn't hear you going to find that card, going to pass the church, going to remember who God is. And the next thing you know, they're going to start coming. And more are going to come. And you're going to remember, I invited them over 2 years ago. I invited them last week. I invited them. I'm believing, God, that the harvest we sow is going to come to fruition. I'm believing, God, for the reaping. I'm believing, God, for that big old huge harvest that every we'll be filled to the brim with those seeking and wanting to know the Lord more. Proverbs 29:2-3. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Whew, I ain't gonna touch that one. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. Better hear it. Again, if you want to know anything, go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. It will show you everything you need to know, everything you need to hear, everything you need to see. If you take it within your heart, you're like, ooh, all up in our business. All up in our business as a nation. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. And God will show you wickedness in high places. God will show you who isn't. He is. All you have to do is step back and wait on the Lord. God's in charge. And never forget that. In charge. You know, and again, as I said on yesterday, I don't believe in my heart that politics should be in the pulpit. Yes, we know that folks are. Some people are evil. Some people are good. Some people get in leadership that should not be in leadership. But the world is no different than the church. There are wolves in sheep clothing in the world, and there are wolves in sheep clothing in the church. And what you do is ask God, Lord, give me discernment. Give me an understanding spirit. Help me to see past the surface of things. Help me to see past the wealth or past the glamour or past the celebrity or past anything that's not like you, God. That's all we ask. We can only ask for God to lead. We get so caught up in what's on here and who's saying that and what pundit has this to say and what person has that to say. Well, what we need to do is say, what does God have to say? And you leave it in the hands of God. And God will take care of everything. And he will reveal and take the scales off our eyes. All we have to do is ask. Give me discernment. But understand, when you get discernment, you're going to see some things that you wish you didn't see. You're going to see past the surface of some folks to some stuff you don't want to know. But once you ask for it, you better be ready. You want to be prophet. Everybody want to be a prophet or a prophetess. They don't understand. Ask Ezekiel. Ask Samuel. Ask Isaiah. Ask Elisha. Ask the prophet. Ask John the Baptist about prophecy. Ask John about prophecy. Prophets, true prophets, don't sleep. They are always having dreams of things that they don't want to know. They can touch someone and know everything because God shows it to them. But understand, a prophet is not a psychic, and they are not for hire. Don't play that. A true prophet is not for hire. You give me $100 and I'll send you a prophecy. That is a psychic, and that is not a God. That's a proper liar, and you better take that and hear it. We got to be careful what we allow in our ears and what we allow to come out of our mouth. And this is what James said, and I'm going to tell you something. James is powerful. The brother of Christ came through that holy womb. And I'm going to tell you, James don't play. And this is what James had to say this morning. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Whew, and he is the truth. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bit in horse's mouth. They may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity, and that's our title for this morning. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Come on now. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the my brother and bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Come on now. Woo! Apostles preaching this morning. This wisdom does not descend. You better preach from above, but in an earthly sensual demonic. But it's earthly sensual demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Come on now. But the wisdom that is from above is first for willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The pastor has spoken this morning. Come on now. The head of the Jerusalem church has had a word this morning. And all we can say is, amen. You better preach, Pastor. The Bible can preach itself. We come in and we preach our sermon, but I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is open the Word of God, and the Word is already there to be preached. James just preached a word to us this morning. This tongue that we have in us, what did he say? This wisdom does not descend. I'm going to go back to verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. But where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Totally describing what's going on in the world today. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in these life lessons for James chapter 3. We all stumble in many things. None of us has become perfect. None of us does everything right. None of us is so wise that we always speak the right words, are so strong that we always do the right thing. Remembering, this keeps us humble. We are not perfect. We are not Jesus. Holy Spirit that can only come from God. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for this mighty word from Ezekiel to James to David to Solomon. We've got to understand God's word is true. And when you read it, you see society. You see yourself. You see some things that we all need to change. And this is the thing that James said. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. James does not mean to glorify the power of the tongue, but rather he wants to show how even a very small part of our body remains out of our control so long as we try to control it in our own strength. Come on now. James chapter 3, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. God's wisdom leads to harmony and peace, while human wisdom leads to kind of wisdom do you tend to rely on? You can answer that question by evaluating your relationship. That's a personal thing. But I tell you this, we've got to be so very careful of this little membrane behind our teeth, we got to be careful that it don't start fires in our life, in our relationship, in our ministry. God is wanting us to bridle this thing. This little thing has caused more destruction in a world than you can ever imagine. This little thing we call a tongue has caused wars, churches to break up, has torn up families and lives. This little thing has power. And do you use it for good or do you lose it for bad? Do you use it for God or do you allow, what did James say, earthly, that let it be earthly, sensual, and demonic? We got to be careful what we allow our children to listen to. Just because something has a title that sounds godly doesn't mean that it is. Start listening to the music that they are listening to so you know why your daughter is acting the way she's acting. All of a sudden, she wants to dress a different way than she used to. She wants to put on makeup. She wants to do all these extra things, and she's only 12. We need to find out what is she listening to. What is she watching on TikTok? What is he putting his mind on? Who is his influence? We got to get all up in their business. As parents, we got to act like it. I'm sure that my granddaughter and my son and daughter all like, ooh, that little woman. But my boys was growing up, they knew better. My grandkids know better, and they're doing better. My granddaughter, my oldest, said, I love to go to church. Do you know how that does something to your heart? To know that you brought them to church. Because I had to repent. And God had me pay it forward. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to do young. So God gave me another generation to pour into. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for youth ministry. I'm grateful for the children who I see now grown who will come and say, Miss Bridget, oh, my God, Miss Bridget, and give me hugs and thank me for pouring into their lives. We have got to change how we do things. We have got to not allow this little tongue, death, and life. We cannot allow this little tongue to change how people's lives are. When you need a word, go to Proverbs 18. Because Proverbs 18 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that they that love it shall eat it. And then when we go to Proverbs 21, it says the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek. We cannot allow this thing behind our teeth to create problems in our life. And the word of God actually says in verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 21, it says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Death and life is in the power of this little thing behind your teeth. Don't let it get you in trouble. So as we wrap up this morning with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and I have yesterday's word and today's word, and I'm going to tell you, yesterday, God didn't let us have it yesterday because it was meant for the day. Good morning. When you have been broken and your mind is troubled, seek God. He is known to be a heart fixer and a mind regulator. All up in the word today. And then for this morning, when God speaks to you, he does so from where you are going, not where you are. Not desolate, not tore down, not tore up from the floor, but beautiful, fruitful, multiplying, awesome man, woman, or God, where you will be. So we got to thank God this morning. And before we go, our prayer for this 22nd today of November, it says, in kindness, you gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your promise, watched over my spirit. Job chapter 10, verse 12. NIV says, wonderful counselor, it is your kindness that leads me back to you again and again. Come on now. Your wonderful way of mercy, saturated in loving kindness, in the path of life that brings light to every shadow of a doubt and flows in. You teach with words covered in your trademark love, even in correction. You have kept an eye on me my whole life, even when I was off chasing my own dark desires, all up in my business. You kept me from the grip of death. Come on now. You lured me in with your persuasive, persistent love that seemed too good to be true. It still does. Thank gentleness that tenderly cares for the vulnerable heart. You don't despise me in my weakness. You offer your own strength. Hallelujah. You cover the distance between my heart and yours with a single step. You are never far away, and of that I am grateful. Lord, may I show the same kindness to others as you continually offer me. And the question for today as we wrap up is this. How does kindness change your perception of someone? Wow. Thank you, God, for an awesome word this morning. Thank you for an awesome prayer. Thank you for great words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. We have a few minutes left. If that has a word that God has given you this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be opened. If not, just keep it in mind that tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and we want to have godly tongue. We want to speak life. We want to love to life, not love to death. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, family, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Please keep me in prayer as I travel the highway this morning to pick up my mother. Just keep us in prayer as I keep you in prayer. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Ooh, this word has touched my heart, and I hope it touched yours too. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day. And please join me tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. Be blessed. It's a wrap.